Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. Before I get to that healthcare thing and the constitutionality, that what its thing really says about you and your life, then before I get there, I have to tell you about a land use meeting tomorrow night, 5 p.m., in the County Commission Chambers, 110 North Apopka Street in Inverness. That's Citrus County. And we're right on the verge. We got Levy County on one side. We've got Citrus County on the other side. We've got Marion County really nearby our broadcast tower. This thing reaches into several counties, but in particular, tomorrow night, 5 p.m., is a discussion about the land use of basically getting permission to build there's somebody with some land and they want to establish a port district on the Cross Florida Barge Canal near Inglis. And it looks like there's some things that were planned a long time ago, but there's actually got to be an approval to allow somebody to build. And I'll just tell you what, folks, there are other people who are being told they can't build, but it looks like this person making an application has got a whole lot of money and is interested in making some more. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is selective telling people they can't exercise their property rights up to this point. And if they don't really have the money to do anything about it, to fight it, then they're kind of stuck. But, well, let's see what's happening here. So, folks, if you've got some land use issues with regard to Citrus County, and what they've been doing in the past, what you think they ought to be doing now and in the future, then don't just sit back watching cable TV tomorrow at 5 p.m., but get down to 110 North Apopka Street in Inverness. It's what you need to do. Our freedom's going to come in proportion to our faith, and part of us is our faithlessness. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Folks, essentially, without hurting anybody's feelings, we're seeing cowardice generally among the populace. Cowardice, populace. Populace, cowardice. That's what we see. And so our freedom is flying to the wind. 1933, if we weren't a nation of cowards, maybe there would not be a Social Security welfare benefit program going on and Medicare and other things. Now you say, well, it's saving my life right now. Well, what it's done, it has supplanted your family. It has actually sapped the nation of its resources so that even today you have less resource to take care of your need. Your children have less resource to take care of themselves and you, as they should be honoring their father and mother in their old age. And folks that, you know, really want to practice true religion, they'd be taking care of the widows and the orphans. I mean, things would be a lot better. The problem is we've turned our heart toward our government, and we've essentially it's idolatry. And what we've done is sought our state to be our grand poobah in the sky. You know, the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain, is going to be our savior. And so what we've done is back in the 30s instituted Social Security to save us. And now what people are whining, there's a point, the thing was designed for self-destruction. And, of course, in the 1970s, when we began the prolific expansion of the in utero infanticide industry, then, of course, we've killed our posterity, which kills our prosperity. And so now we don't have anybody to pay for the Medicare system, and we have all these people that are owed the service. And, of course, this Social Security Trust that you can read about in Title 42, Section 205 of the United States Code, you can read all about it in the trust they set up. What's happened is somebody has violated the trust. They took the money that was being put into it. They didn't invest it. What they did is they spent it. And now it's owed and there's no money to pay it with. So the only way to pay the money is to take in more income, is to have a greater resource. So that's really what this healthcare bill is a clutching every numbered person, every person who has joined the Social Security welfare benefit program by signing up for Social Security is now eligible to pay whatever the Secretary of Treasury or the Commissioner of Social Security or whoever it is, I guess, you know, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and they've got a few things for the Homeland Defense guys to do. But whoever's in that program, in the clutches of it, are now subject to the whimsical decisions of the secretary, that departmental secretary. And so essentially, people don't realize that. What happens is, if you place yourself in a situation where you become a ward of the state has control over those things. And I hear people complaining about it's a tax on inheritance. Well, they really don't have any authority. The United States has no authority to tax your inheritance. That's a common law issue that happens within your state, within the law of the land of your state. There's no common law in the federal government. So when they start dictating how much each person can inherit, it's because somebody has now opted into being a beneficiary, a ward of the United States in the federal welfare program. Those are hard things. Those are hard things to say, and it's probably ticking people off. They'd rather listen to Don Imus in the morning than to hear that. And especially those that would consider themselves, God-fearing, country-loving Christians. We've been giving lip service to those things on our 4th of July celebrations in church and other places. But we've been basically operating in bad faith. We haven't had faith in God. We haven't been loving our neighbor as ourselves and taking care of the widows of the orphans and basically honoring our father and mother and being a good parent, preparing an inheritance for our children so they can honor us. So what's happening, it's coming to roost. It's coming back to get us. So this is what's going on with this healthcare bill. A lot of people have been looking at this and going, hey, the government doesn't have any constitutional authority to do what they're doing. As I've read this, they're not inventing anything new. I'm reading, 360 plus pages of this 1990 page bill. And so far, what I see is merely, it says it's a quality healthcare for all Americans to reduce the growth in healthcare spending by whom? You or the federal government? And for other purposes, it says. It's cited as the Affordable Healthcare for America Act. But again, its purpose, as it says, its own purpose, is to give quality healthcare for all Americans and reduce the growth in healthcare spending. So your question is naturally, where is that in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, that they can come in and dictate what happens, whether or not you're allowed to go to a doctor without facing the doctor as the enforcer, as Mr. Enforcer of your welfare benefit program tax? Hey, caller, thank you for calling the 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Dave, and I agree with you, because language is so important, and they use language like tax. When they're using the language of the health care bill. And that's a particular legal status, legal fiction. You know, it's a fiction of law. And a lot of what happens is constitutional. It's just you're entering into a civil contract of sorts, you know, where the Constitution isn't even a question. But people aren't educated in that. And then you have the bureaucrats misapplying the law. Would you agree?
Well, I'd say like some of the term they use wasn't taxpayer. In this case, it's called individual. They don't define individual. And I used to think that was an adjective, like you say, an individual car or an individual tree. But they're calling an individual without saying which noun it's associated with. You know, so the individual is actually a term that's related to somebody who's in that Social Security and taxed under that excise tax for participation in that voluntary benefit program. And you're going to say that people say, oh, you're making it up. No, I'm telling you, I've got a letter from the Social Security Administration explaining to me that there's no law that requires anybody to join it.
No, there is no law.
And that's from the Social Security Administration. And the reason there isn't, it's not because they felt just wonderfully benevolent one day to just not include it as a mandate. They just don't have any authority constitutionally to institute the Social Security program that everybody would have to participate in. But with this program, it's not introducing a new thing. What it's doing is everybody who's already in that system is basically being clutched by this. There's nothing they're going to be able to do.
Right. So where it says everyone must have health care, it's just it's regarding our where people are talking about everyone must have health care.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell
you people who are part of the system.
Right. And there's I'll give you another thing. I'm just looking up on my notes. I have this thing set up.
But David, isn't it then tough to be not part of the system? I'm sure you and I know you in particular. I've been in a situation where, you know, years ago, 20 to 30 years ago, I said, listen, I don't want to participate in this particular part of your system, whether, you know, I worked for one corporation and I said, I really don't want your health care. Just give me the extra money. I was like 22, 23 years old. So I really don't need it. I'd rather, we can't do that.
Well, what it is, you could do it, but most employers don't realize that there is a way for them to protect themselves when hiring you. There are some reasonable cause waivers. And it doesn't have to be that it's a religious exemption even. There are things that will enable somebody to leave you in your free status and hire you, but they just have to do the paperwork to take note that you would not fill out a particular voluntary form.
No, they couldn't do it because it was a union shop.
Well, that's...
They were under a contract with the union.
Right.
So, really, their hands were tied, so... Here's an opportunity where, I mean, it cracks me up when they say, you're free. No, you're not.
Well, no, you are. The problem is most people around you aren't.
No, I'm not. I couldn't contract with that company privately.
No, but the thing is, they're free to not contract with you, and you're free. The problem is they're entrapped. They don't have the freedom to contract with you because of what they've basically, they've duped themselves. They're not free to step beyond what, you know, their little realm that they've opted into.
Listen, it's being bullied. It's no different than organized crime. You know, the mafia can't say, listen, we're going to collect your trash or we're going to give you protection. They can't do that. So why should a union be able, it should be illegal for a contract to exist where an individual can't contract with that firm privately.
Well, you could.
You can't. No.
You could.
The right to work state.
Well, watch this. I mean, I can, and I'll just give you an example. My son worked for a company. And they would not pay him until he filled out a voluntary form. Now, the problem is, if we sued them, they would lose. But is that what you want to do? They just are confused.
I can tell you, all the court readings I've read, and back then, I had to become a non-member and pay the union dues, according to the courts. Every court decision I read was, you don't have to be a member. But if you want to be employed there, you have to pay the dues, and your status can be one of non-member.
But,
I don't know, unless you can find something different, that'd be great.
State was that?
It was in the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
And now, I heard the other day, and I played this on the radio, the guy who just got elected to attorney general in Virginia, he said specifically in his acceptance speech, he talked about his right to work laws in Virginia. And he said, okay, you think the battle was in Congress, and you think that just because the president signs it, that's it. He says, no way, buddy. The battle's going to go on. If it's going to undermine the laws of Virginia, they got to fight. And so, you know, but that's one guy that gets elected in the entire 50 states, you know, is
right.
Willing to take that position. Can I tell you what it is as part of it is the people who are wicked and really corrupt and trying to undermine everything for their own advantage have been duping people who really have good intentions, who want to obey every ordinance of man and submit to everything, and they forget that you're not supposed to submit to every corrupt person who lies to you. You're supposed to make sure we're all submitting to the law of the land. And so we're going to come back after this break and talk about that. Thanks for the call. Hey, you're listening, David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show. I talk about a lot of weird, crazy stuff on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. You can check us out on our website at faithfreedoms.org. Give us a call, 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872.